We have talked about what the church is supposed to be doing, which is bringing glory to God. We want to make sure that all the parts are working right. Just for an example, like a tractor. If you have a tractor and one of the key parts of that tractor breaks down, the whole tractor is no good. If you take the back tire off the tractor, it's not going to do you any good. You've got to have all the parts. And when all those things are working right, it works really good. And when we do that, when we see that, when the members are doing what they're supposed to do and the deacons are doing what they're supposed to do and the pastor's doing what he's supposed to do, then the church is working properly. And then that brings more glory to God. So that's kind of where we're headed with this. And I don't even remember what number in the series that this is, but we're going to talk about one of the duties of a church member was to be constant in attendance to all meetings of the church. So that's what we're talking about this morning, an appointment with God. And here in Hebrews, really a pretty straightforward verse about this says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, this one should be just obvious. This is not one that you really have to just think about. If you're a member of a church, you ought to be at the church. It's not something that's really difficult, but I do want to mention this before we even get started. I don't want anybody here this morning to think, well, he's preaching to me this morning. Yep, he's getting on to me about not, absolutely not. It's not the case. I told you a long time ago I was going to do this. I gave you the whole list. So I'm not preaching at anybody. In fact, if this doesn't step on your toes this morning a little bit, you're probably not going to hear what I'm saying, because it's going to step on my toes a little bit. And I've been here every service except maybe one or two since we joined. But that's not what it's about even. It's more than that. It's more than just showing up. So don't think, well, he's aiming this sermon at me this morning. I know he's talking about us because we missed 2 weeks ago or what it is. That's absolutely not the case. But also, don't let it just fly over your head either. If it hits the target, then let it hit the target. So I want to get that disclaimer out of the way. What does this mean when we say that we want to be committed to attendance to the church, to all meetings of the church? And what does it mean when we say an appointment with God? Well, does that mean that the church ought to need a certain schedule, like Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every week, and if we're not doing that, we're not doing the job? Absolutely not. If you'll notice the way I worded that duty of a church member is that you're supposed to be in attendance at all meetings of the church. Well, who decides when the church meets? Guess what? The church does. If the church decides that they're only going to meet on Sunday mornings, then you are, as a member, you ought to be there on Sunday mornings. If the church decides something else, then you ought to be there. That's, I know, tough in some situations, but that's the truth of it. So when the church meets, we have a responsibility to be there. We have an appointment with God. And the reason I said that is when you have an appointment with somebody, let's say, like I'm sick, and let's say I don't get any better, and so I have to call a doctor, and Monday I make an appointment. Well, what happens when I make an appointment is I tell them I'm going to show up at 10 o'clock at your doctor's office. Well, see, there's another side of that you don't think about sometimes, but the doctor's also promising you that he's going to be there at 10 o'clock, and he's going to be there. He's going to be ready to help you at 10 o'clock. So there's two sides to an appointment. There's the person who's supposed to show up and then the person who's promising that they'll be there. Well, it's the same thing with God. He has said that when two or three of us gather together, he will meet with us. So we have made an appointment with God. He is going to be here with us, and it ought to be important for us to show up for our appointment. You know, a doctor doesn't appreciate it too much when you make an appointment, and believe me, I've done it before. Or, you know, I've been real bad with the eye doctor. I'll say, well, I'm going to make time to go do my contacts again for the year, and I'll set the appointment, and I'll just completely forget about it. And I'm sure they don't like that too much. Well, we have an appointment with God, and he has promised that he would meet with us, and so we need to honor that promise that we've made to meet with him. I think about it in this way, too. You know, if all of us, and I think I mentioned this when I did the overview, when I did our church checkup sermon, that's kind of an overview of all these things, I think I mentioned this, but if a really important person, you think of the most important person that you can think of, whoever that is, if they said, I'm going to meet with you at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. I mean somebody really famous, just, world famous guy, and he says, I'm going to meet with you at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. Well, you would probably go home and you would get all cleaned up. You might even go out and buy new clothes. You would get all dressed up. You would make sure your hair was combed just right. You would get your children all cleaned up if you've got it. I mean, you would really go all out. And you would probably show up at 6 o'clock for the meeting at 7 o'clock and just be ready waiting on that person. Well, we are here to meet with God, the God of the universe. That ought to be more important than any single human being that you can come up with. I don't care who it is, President of the United States, famous singer, whatever it is. You would make sure that you got to that appointment, that you would make sure that you were there on time and in the right frame of mind and everything to meet with that person. And that's the way we have to think about church. Church is an appointment with God. We are meeting with the God of the universe, and we need to treat it as such. So we need to, first of all, we need to make sure that it's our priority, that God is that important to us, that this becomes a priority in our life. Now, we're going to look at five reasons why, or five reasons to be constant in our meeting with the church. And these are all important. They're very different, and we're going to look at some exceptions. There are some. I do believe that there are some, so we're going to look at those too. But we want to look at these five reasons why that it's important that we be constant in our attendance to church meetings. And like I said, I know I say this a lot, but this morning I really, really want you to not think about anybody else. Don't think about, well, I hope so-and-so's listening because they missed a couple of weeks ago, or I wish this person would listen because they don't come at this service. Or just forget all of that and try to focus on yourself this morning, on how that you can improve. Well, even if you attend every single service, you can improve in this area, because we can be more ready to worship when we come. Number one, our first reason why to be constant in attendance to church meetings is it's the command of God. That one's real simple, isn't it? It is the command of God that we come. He has commanded that we do that. Let's turn to Exodus 31. Exodus 31 and verse 13. Sometimes we get real complicated and we come up with all these reasons and all of this stuff, and when really the answer is why we should do it is just because God said to do it. I used to hate that when I was little, and my mom would, come up with something, and then you say, but why? And then she, well, we all know what I'm fixing to say. You know what the answer is? Just because I said so. No other reason. I'm not giving you a reason other than I told you to do it. Just go do it. And I used to hate that because I wanted some backup. I wanted something to go on of, well, there's a reason why she's doing this. She didn't have to have a reason. That was the point. She had the authority, and she said to do it. That's all it took. So in some senses, that's what we're talking about here, is that it's just the command of God. Exodus 31, verse 13 says, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Now, you might think, well, are you saying if I don't come to church, I'm going to be put to death? Well, aren't you glad we're not under the law anymore? Absolutely. But that also does show us one thing. It means God means business about this. He's serious about it. He says that in this time with the children of Israel, that if they defiled the Sabbath, they were to be put to death. I think that means he means business about it. He means business about us keeping the Sabbath. So he says here several important things. But I think one of the biggest principles that I want to pull from this is what he says here. Because a lot of times you'll hear people say, well, I just had so much going on and I couldn't get everything done. And so Sunday I had to get this or that done. Well, look, I think this is extremely fair, what God has set up here. He says, one day out of seven, you're going to give to me. Now, do you think he would be fair in saying that 3 days out of seven, you're going to give to me because I'm your Lord? I've saved you. I've sent my son to die for you. Do you think that would be fair? I think that would be fair. But it's even more than that. He says, one day out of seven is going to be mine. It's my day. It's going to be for me. So I think that is extremely, just more than fair, that one day out of seven is the Lord. We're to set aside that day to worship God and to honor Him. Now, when I said there are exceptions, I do believe that. My dad works in the medical field. He works in the hospital. Has my whole life. Well, we all know that if we get sick, we want somebody to be at the hospital, even if it's on Sunday. That's an exception that I think is completely acceptable, as long as the priority is where it's supposed to be. If he chose to work on Sunday every time, there'd be a problem with that. But just working his regular schedule, and sometimes he has to work on Sunday, I don't see any problem with that. And that's where we get to in these exceptions is, yes, there are times when there's exceptions that have to be made, and I understand that. But if you begin to have that mindset, what generally happens is it begins to wear on you, and then it's easier to make the exception. And then it's easier to make it. And before long, you're making the exception more than you are the rule. You know, the rule just kind of falls by the wayside, and the exception becomes the rule. And we don't want to have that mindset. It has to be a priority for us. So let's say you work for somebody, and that person says, you got to work Sunday. Well, there's nothing really that you can do about that if you have to provide for your family, right? We all know that you're going to have to work. However, as a Christian, it ought to be, you ought to wear it on your sleeves. You ought to let it be known to your boss, to whoever it is, I would much rather not work on Sunday. If there's any way possible that I cannot work on Sunday, I want to be in church on Sunday. And you ought to be upfront with them about that. You ought to tell them, I would rather not work on Sunday. If I have to, I have to, and I'm going to because you've given me a job. But if there's any way possible, I'd rather not work on Sunday. I think that is the attitude that we ought to have, and too many times we don't have. The priority, kind of like we said, falls by the wayside. But there are those exceptions, but we need to be careful about, like we said, making the exception the rule. Turn to Matthew chapter 12, and we'll look at an example of this. Matthew chapter 12, verses 10 through 13. And here we have a situation where this happened to Christ a lot, and this man comes up to him. He's going to try to trip him up. He's going to try to get him to do or say something that he can point to and say, you see, this man's not really the Messiah. And beginning in verse 10, it says, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? See, that their whole motives were wrong. They were wanting to find something to stick at Jesus. And he says, and he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Then he said, saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Now, what's the point of that? Is it okay to do good on the Sabbath day? He says, absolutely. It's okay to do good on the Sabbath day. That's absolutely acceptable. So there are things that you can do. When we say you're not to work on the Sabbath day, that doesn't mean that, you know, you have to sit still all day and do absolutely nothing. He says if you had a sheep that fell in the ditch, you ought to get it out of the ditch. You ought to do good on the Sabbath day. That's okay. There's another example where his disciples are walking through a cornfield, and as they're walking through, they're hungry, and they begin to pluck the ears of corn from the field and eat them as they're walking along. And, of course, people had something to say about that they were picking corn on the Sabbath day. And he said, there was nothing wrong with that as well. So we know that there are exceptions. It's a hard thing, you know. I know around here that farming is a big, that's pretty much what everybody's tied to in one way or the other. Well, and I understand that at certain times of the year, there's stuff that just has to be done. I understand that. Believe me, I've talked to several of you about this, so you know kind of my opinion on it. But let me say it publicly. That's absolutely okay. I understand that. But make sure that in your mind you're doing everything you can to be at church when you can. If you're doing that, then I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I will go along with that 100%. But if it begins to be where if it's on the borderline, I'm going to go work, then there's a problem. And only you can answer that before God in your own heart, that you know how important it is, whether or not you can spare 2 hours. Because that's what we're talking about. we're talking about two, maybe 2.5 hours for you to come, be at church, and then go back and work. That's the other thing is it does take a real dedication to do that. To, you know, I don't think anybody here would be offended if you showed up, not in your suit and, you know, all cleaned up. If you came out of the field, we'd be glad you were here. At least I hope everybody would. I know I would. I wouldn't care what you look like if you showed up. So that's kind of what we mean with these exceptions and whether or not they're if it's absolutely where you cannot be here, that's one thing. But we need to make sure that that's what it is when we miss, that it's not just a choice, but it's something that is a necessity. Now, number two, that's the first one is just it's the command of God, and we're just supposed to follow it. That's pretty simple. Now, number two is we have the example set for us in the New Testament. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Because God said it, He said it in more than one place, said it in the Old Testament, said it in the New Testament, so it's the command of God. Well, more than that, we have the example set for us by the New Testament church. Early on in the beginnings of the church, they set this example for us. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So these people, they received the word, they were baptized, they joined the church, you could say in our terms today, which baptism and joining the church are separate. I hope you understand that. Those are completely separate things. Baptism is one thing, joining the church is another. Baptism is much different than joining the church. Now, those usually happen at the same time, but let's not get that confused. Those are separate, baptism and joining the church. But they become a part of the assembly here, and it says that they were baptized, and that day it was about 3,000. That's amazing. And it says then, what did they do next? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They became a part of the assembly, and they did it steadfastly. Steadfastly means that you do something in a way that's steady, that you become steady with it, that it's something that you continue on in a regular pattern. So they were steadfast with this. They didn't just come and hear the word and be baptized and then kind of go on their way and do something different and maybe check in every once in a while. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and breaking of bread and in fellowship with one another. And if you'll notice back in Hebrews, that's one of the key parts of this is the fellowship that we have together. We want to meet together because of that fellowship that we have one with another. And that's part of what it says here in Acts. So we have this example. Now go to Acts 20 and it gets a little more specific. Acts 20 and verse 7. Acts 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Well, there's a few interesting things in that. But one is that they came together to break bread. So I guess it's okay for us to have lunch at church, because they came together to break bread on the first day of the week. So there's your scriptural evidence for having lunch at church. And that's good. I'm glad that that's in there so we can keep doing that. And then secondly, and the most important, is that it met on the first day of the week. And what was the purpose? Paul was going to preach the gospel to them. And he does it there. It says, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. And then the other interesting part to me is that he continued his speech until midnight. Can you imagine that? I think y'all would probably just get up and leave at some point. If I just kept going and going all the way to midnight, somebody would get up and leave. But Paul preached all the way until midnight, and they were there on the first day of the week and met together. So we have that example in the New Testament, and we could go to many other places in the book of Acts and show you in different places in the New Testament where the New Testament church met on the first day of the week for the purpose of the preaching of the Word. And also it says in places that they sang psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another and to lift each other up and to exhort. So the reason why we do what we do in the church is because we have the pattern set for us. There weren't some people sitting around years ago and said, you know what, I think what we ought to do at church is this and this and this, and then that's not the reason we do it. The reason we do it is because it's a New Testament pattern. Now, would it be okay for us to come in and do the preaching first and then have the song service after? Absolutely. There's nothing that says you have to do it in the order we do it. We could come in and have a prayer service and then have song service and then have preaching. The order doesn't matter, but those elements we see in the New Testament church are what we're to be doing, and that's singing and worshiping Him in song, praying and preaching. Those three things are very important, and we have that pattern set for us in the New Testament. All through the book of Acts, we see that same pattern, and that ties in with our next reason that we're going to talk about, because we're talking about that the pattern is the preaching of the Word. Let's look at Micah 4:2, because our third reason that we ought to be constant attendants to the church is because this is the place of instruction. This is a place of instruction. Turn to Micah 4, verse 2. Micah 4, verse 2 says, "And many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways. And we will walk in His paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." So one of the reasons why we come to church is to learn of His ways, to be instructed in righteousness, to be able to learn more about Him so that we can live more like Him. I like that phrase. I don't know who I borrowed that from, but they were talking about church and why we come. They said we want to learn more about Him so that we can live more like Him. And that's exactly the truth. That's a really good statement. We ought to want to know more about God because we're to be trying to be more like Christ in everything that we do. So to do that, we have to know about Him. And this is the place that God has set aside for us to come, not only to worship. We are to worship. That ought to be a big part of what we do here is worship. But it's also to learn about Him, to be instructed, and to know more about Him through the church. It is the place that's ordained by God to be a place where we can learn more about Him. And He says He's going to teach us more about Him in His house here in Micah 2. Now turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 3. I never have gotten to go back and listen. I know, I think Brother Jeff preached a sermon out of this passage, and I never have got to go back and listen to it. But this is a very good passage about what it is that one of the purposes of the church and one of the purposes of a pastor, what a pastor is to be doing. Jeremiah 3, verse 15, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Verse 16, "And it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore." So He says, I'm going to give you pastors for what purpose? He says, "Who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." When I get up in here, when I get up in this pulpit and preach, there should be a purpose to it. It shouldn't just be time for, you know, just pick some verse and just kind of ramble about it. It's supposed to be instruction. It's supposed to be something that will enable you to live more like Christ, that will let you know more about God, that will encourage you in the way, that will instruct you in what we're to be doing as children of God. That's what preaching should be about. It shouldn't just be a bunch of rambling. And if it is, then we're the ones to blame, and we need to fix that problem, those who are doing the preaching. But it is to, He says here, I'm going to give you pastors to feed you knowledge and understanding. So that's an important thing. Now go to Jeremiah 23:4, and it's worded in a little different way. Same book, Jeremiah 23 and verse 4. "And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." So one of the jobs of a pastor is to feed you, in the sense that when I feed you out of the Word of God, you'll fear no more. I just, in and of myself, I can't comfort you in ways that the Word of God can. But if I feed you out of the Word of God, that's going to give you comfort. That's going to give you peace, knowing what God says in this book. And then at the end of that verse, it says, "Nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking." You see, if I preach the whole counsel of God to you out of this book, what's in this book, then you're not going to be lacking when it comes to living your life. You're going to have what you need to be able to live the life that you need to live. You're going to be just completely ready, nothing lacking, ready to live the life that God has for you to live. That's an awesome responsibility. Believe me, when I first started preaching, I don't think in the very beginning I had a full understanding of that. And then the more you go along, you start to see the responsibility that's there. That's an awesome thing. I can remember back to times when, you know, I was preaching and it really started to dawn on me the responsibility of what a pastor is doing. That's a great responsibility to preach the whole counsel of God, to bring the Word of God to His people. It's a great, great responsibility and a very humbling thing. And it says that that's important because that when that happens, I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. They shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. It's equipping you to live your life of faith. And that's an important thing that we don't need to overlook. So remember, our subject this morning is the church of God. Well, if this is the place where that's designed to happen, and you're constantly missed, you're missing something from God. It's not that I want you to be here to hear what I've got to say. Because if it was just coming from me, you could probably go get it somewhere better, someone who's smarter, somewhere else. You could probably go get it somewhere else. But that's not what it is. It's that this is the place that God has designed that He's going to feed His people. And He does that through the preaching of the Word. So when you miss, when you're not here, you're missing out. You're missing out on what God had for you that morning in His house. And those things are important, it says, because those are the things that will keep us from as it's worded here, from lacking in the things that we need. Now, I want to throw this in for free. Turn to James chapter 1. It's kind of off subject, but I think it's important to say. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightforth forgetteth what manner of man he was." Now, I said that one of the important reasons for us to come is because it's a place of instruction. It's important for us to come and hear the word of God. But if we come and hear it, and we don't put any of it into practice, it's really not going to do us any good. We're not only to be a hearer of the word, but we're to be a doer. And why am I bringing that up in the context of the church? Well, about attendance to church. Well, it's much easier to do that when you're constantly seeing each other, when you're constantly around each other, and you see others, and you begin to see as a unit that people are beginning to be doers of the word and not just hearers. Then that strengthens us. And that's an important thing, too, that we don't just come just to hear the word and let it go in one ear and out the other, but it begins to change our life. It begins to change our patterns of the way we do things, and that's when you'll begin to see real change in your life. Now, our fourth reason, we only got two more, our fourth reason is that it strengthens us spiritually and encourages others. It strengthens us spiritually and it encourages others. And this one is, I think, extremely important because people will say, "Well, I didn't come to church because I just felt cold and I just felt down spiritually." Well, let me tell you something. If there's ever a time that you need to come to church, that's when you need to come, more than any other time. I'm not saying that you shouldn't come when you're spiritually strong. Or you still should come then, but don't say, "Well, I just, you know, I was down and just spiritually having a hard time, and so I just didn't feel like coming to church." Coming to church strengthens us spiritually, and it also encourages other ones. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." That last phrase is what I really wanted to focus on. We're all members one of another. So when we meet on Sunday morning, if you're a member of the church and you're not here, then the body is not complete. We're meeting and we're missing something from our body, and the body's not complete. And we need to all have that understanding that when we miss, it doesn't just affect us. That's the hard part, I think, for some people to understand. It doesn't just affect us. It affects the others. It affects the whole body. I've used the term before about that if you're trying to run a race and somebody chopped your leg off, you're going to have a little bit harder time doing well in the race. You're going to have to hop, you know, on one leg. You're probably not going to do very well in that race. Well, it's the same thing with the body of Christ. We're all members one of another. And when one of us is missing, it affects the rest. So back to our reason is that it strengthens us spiritually and encourages others. We need to be complete as a body as much as we can. That's going to be encouraging to others, and it makes us complete. And that goes from top to bottom. That goes from the oldest member of the church who's been here the longest to the newest member of the church. They're all equally important. We're all on equal footing. I like what Brother Bradley, and I think he mentioned this not too long ago on the radio broadcast. He said this. He said, what if the preacher didn't show up one Sunday morning and someone called? And he said, well, I just really didn't feel good this morning, and I was tired, so I stayed home. The church probably wouldn't have much patience with that, would they? And he's right about that. You know, if two or three Sundays in a row I just, you know, didn't call or anything, I just stayed at home, and y'all came to church and you had a song service and there was nobody to do the preaching, and I guarantee I'd be getting two or three phone calls, you know, as soon as church was over, people saying, where were you this morning? Well, I just didn't feel good. You know, and in fact, I didn't feel good this morning. Well, if I just stayed home, somebody would have been calling me saying, now, wait a minute, you know, where were you this morning? Well, it's just as important for you to be here as it is for me to be here. We're all on equal footing when it comes to that. We all need to make it a priority, no matter who we are or what our position in the church is. It's just as important. And seeing you there is going to encourage others. When everyone's there, it's encouraging to everybody else, and especially to the preacher. That's absolutely the truth. I'm not gonna say that's not the truth. If you get up here and half the church is missing, that's discouraging. It really is. And especially if it's habitual. You know, if there's two or three that are gone all the time, it begins to wear on you a little bit. That's a discouraging thing. So I'll just be selfish about that. I'll just admit it. It's nice to be able to get up in the pulpit and look out over the congregation and see the church. See the actual church, those who are members of the church who are there. And it's not just for me, though. I think that goes for everybody else. I think other people, you know, it's discouraging when you come to church and it's low numbers. There's half the people are there. First of all, we just don't have just a ton anyway. You know, it's not like we have 100 members. We're kind of small anyway, and that makes it even more so, you know, that when somebody's missing, you really notice it when you've got smaller numbers like we do. But that's also one of the good things about having smaller numbers. We notice. You know, if somebody's missing, we're going to notice it. We're going to notice that they're not there. And I think that's a good thing as well. So it strengthens us spiritually and it encourages others. It makes us all, it encourages each other in the fact that we're constant in our attendance to church. Now, the last one, and this one is extremely important too, is that it should be a joy. I've been talking about this the whole time, and it's kind of almost like I'm saying, well, you know, this is your duty, and you just got to bear up underneath it, and you just got to come even when you don't feel like it. Well, the bottom line is it shouldn't be that way at all. And it shouldn't be that somebody has to just kind of say, yeah, you ought to come to church. It ought to be a joy for you to come to church. It should be a joy. Turn to Psalm 27. And there's many places in the Scriptures I could go to for this, but David was somebody who was joyful about the house of God. So we're going to go to three different places in the Psalms and look at this, that it should be a joy for us to be in the house of God. Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. David said, out of everything, one thing have I desired, and that's that to dwell in the temple of the Lord, to dwell in the house of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That was the one thing he desired. Now, this man could have had pretty big aspirations. He was the king. He was very wealthy. He could have had some pretty big aspirations and some pretty big desires. But he says, the one thing that I've desired is that I dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That says a lot. And that ought to be our feeling, too. It ought to be the highlight of our week. It ought not to be, well, Sunday's here, I got to get ready and go to church. It ought to be, I'm so glad that it's Sunday, I get to get up this morning and go to church. Like I told you, it was kind of strange for me. I really, you know, us not having Wednesday night service and not being in town all week and not getting to see anybody all week, I was really looking forward to coming this morning, getting to see everybody again. It ought to be that way every week with us. It ought to be the highlight of our week and the highlight of our month and so on. It ought to be a joy for us to be able to come. Psalm 84:10. Let's go to that one. Psalm 84:10. And if you want to do some extra reading at home, just read that whole psalm. Psalm 84 talks about the church and in a very special way. The whole psalm is good. I'm not going to take time to read the whole thing. We're just going to read verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. If we all had that attitude, I don't think we'd have much problem in the church. You know, there wouldn't be, and there definitely wouldn't be as much fighting between churches as going on. 90% of all that stuff, when all this infighting is going on between different churches and different preachers, it's about power. They want to have control over here and control over here, and I want to control this and control that, and it's all about power. And David says, look, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. If we all had that attitude, we'd see a lot less trouble, not only in our own church, but also between churches too. I believe that for sure. And we see David's heart here is that no matter what, and I hope this would be the way it was with me. If something happened and I could no longer preach, I hope I would want to come and be in the house of God for the rest of my days and just sit on the back pew, even if I couldn't speak, even if I couldn't sing, if I couldn't preach. No matter what, I would want to be in the house of God. I hope that would be my heart like it was David's. He said, no matter what, I want to be in the house of God. It's for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. And that ought to be the way it is with us as too. And then the very last one is Psalm 122 and verse 1. We'll close with this one. Psalm 122 and verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And that really speaks to what I'm talking about with this point, about it ought to be a joy for us. It shouldn't be, well, it's time to go to church again. I got to get ready. It should be, I'm glad that it's time to go to the house of the Lord. So we see those five things, reasons why we should be constant in our attendance to the church. It's about our attitude. It's not just about being here. It's about being here in the right frame of mind to worship God, knowing what we're here for. Like we said, it's a place of instruction, and we need to know those things as well. And it's really all about priorities. That's really what this whole thing comes down to. It's about priorities. If you make it the number one priority in your life, it's going to change some things that you do. I'm not talking to anybody in here in particular. I'm talking to me as much as anybody else. If church became our number one priority on our list, it would change some of the things we do. I'm convinced of that. It would change my life right now if I could really make that the number one priority of my life. It would change some things, and we ought to make those changes. It really ought to be our number one priority. And I also wanted to tie this in a little bit. We've been talking about how that we're to be raising our children and passing on truth to the next generation. I'm going to tell you something. There's probably no single easier thing that you could do that also speaks volumes than how you attend church is going to speak a lot to your children. If your children see you, well, you know, I just don't feel good and we're just not going to go today. What message is that sending to your children? Or the reasons why that you miss church. You think about that. Your children are smarter than you think. And they're going to say, well, you know, when I was growing up, we missed church for this and this and this. And I know what we missed church. They know what you're missing church for. So what are we passing on to our children by the example that we set? That's extremely important. If our children see that church is just really not that important to us, that we have other things that are more important, what do you think it's going to be for them? It's going to be the same thing. So we need to also lead by example with our children and even with our friends and others that we're around. You know, that goes for our coworkers, those who we're around at work, those who, you know, if we're all about church and they know that, then that's going to set an example for them, the right example. And we could have it the other way, too. So attending worship at the house of God should be the very top of our list. Not somewhere in the middle, which too many times it is with many of us, I'm afraid. And even when we attend, being in the right frame of mind. If church becomes that important to you, if it's number one on your list, it's not just going to be that you're going to show up. You're going to prepare for that. That's what your whole week's going to be about, is I can't wait till Sunday, and you're going to be getting prepared the whole time to worship God on Sunday. And I think if we all did that, we'd see a difference in our services, see a difference in our preaching, You know, I'm not going to take time to go back there, but where I started in Acts chapter 2, where it talked about that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread, they were steadfast about that. Well, if you go down two or three verses, it says that then the power of the gospel came, that the gospel was preached with power. So I think if we do what we're supposed to do, then God's going to bless us in a way that probably we can't imagine. If we would do what we're supposed to do and really make it our priority, He would bless that, and we would see the results, not only in the power of the preaching, but in the outreach of the church. So, once again, I hope you all take what's good from that, take what applies to you, and what doesn't apply to you, that you'll let it go. I think we could all do a little better about making church a little more of a priority in our life.